Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Joshua chapter 7 is a very timely message for us, and I couldn't pull away from it. As it's timely as we as a nation have just celebrated Thanksgiving and survived Black Friday, if you're into that. I think you could really summarize Joshua chapter 7 in the light of the events of what we just experienced, Thanksgiving. And for those of you that are like Black Friday freaks, you survived that. And how many of you are like into Black Friday? How many of you would just rather move to a far off country, you know, and a land far away where it's peace and silence and solitude, right? But really, you see that playing out within Joshua chapter 7, this idea of greed versus gratitude. And so it's appropriate that we look at it today, because Thursday, people gather in gratitude. On Friday, they go in greed. Not everyone does that, but yet there is pictures. I mean, if you could throw those up there, Jessica, just pictures of this mayhem within what we call Black Friday, and just this squash, go to the next one, and you see, I mean, look at that guy, he's a little bit upset. His turkey didn't sit well, I guess, you know, and he, as they're going after something. And then the last one, I don't know if you can see it, but down on the, you can't really see it on this screen, but down on the very bottom, there's this guy that's being trampled on all fours. And if you follow the pictures out, that's the last one that I have. But like the next sequence of pictures in that is he's leaning up against this red counter, taking off his jacket, you know, just like dazed. Looks like he was the deer that got ran over on 135, right? And he's just like survived this mayhem of what we call Black Friday. And you know, in some ways, as we just came out of a Joshua chapter 6 and the accomplishment of Jericho, in some ways, in my mind, I'm thinking, wow. You know, on Friday morning, if you're at some of the stores where people are lined up, and I saw this one video on YouTube this week as I was, you know, just YouTube Black Friday stampedes. And there was this bunch of clips that someone had put together, and literally store doors are just being like ripped off and the metal thrown aside, and they raise the gate, right? And it's just like this stampede of people. And there's this lady got ran over. She had a wig on, and before she wasn't worried about getting up, man. She was worried about finding her wig, and you know, she's putting it back on. And it was just crazy. And in some, and as I thought about that, I was like, you know what? I wonder if the children of Jericho, when the shout went forth and the walls came down, I'm wondering if they're experiencing a little bit of Black Friday mania as they charged into Jericho to take the city, right? And I could just picture it in my mind, that happening. And so we're going to look at Joshua chapter 7 this morning. And the people of Israel stepping into the spoils, if you will, of the accomplishment of Jericho, or the battle of Jericho. And it says this, though, God gives them some guidelines to their Black Friday, if you will. In verse 17 of Joshua chapter 6, it says this: Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Everything made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury. And so today's passage of scripture serves as a powerful reminder that not just greed, but sin in general is a destructive force. True? I know, I mean, you're like, man, it's Thanksgiving weekend. Don't talk to us about sin. I mean, that's like, oh. But we know that from this passage of scripture. We know that from life in general. It's not just destructive, though, to those who are participating in it, because it has a ripple effect to those that are around it. Greed, like sin, can grow quick and can stick, can it? What is greed? Greed is the expression of our sinful nature. All of us, it resides within all of us. One individual that I was studying, he said this about greed. Greed is a weed, man. It just grows. It's excessive or reprehensible desire to acquire. It's covetousness at its worth. Jesus, in Mark chapter 7, he was talking about this issue of the heart and what comes from the heart. And he says this in verse 21, "For from within, out of men's heart comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed. Malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." And here is one of the ugly things about sin. It causes us to compartmentalize our life, doesn't it? It causes us to say what people don't know about me and what I do behind my closed doors or wherever I do what I do doesn't hurt them. And that's not true, because there's always a ripple effect to sin. If we call ourselves Christian, if you're here today and you call yourself a Christian, then holiness or righteousness is just simply right living, should be a part and a desire of our life. I mean, Hebrews chapter 12 says this, man, without holiness, what will happen? No one will see the Lord. And so Christianity just isn't about rules and regulations and all that stuff. That's boring, right? But Christianity really is about reflection and replication. It's reflecting the Son of God and it's replicating his life to others. But sin blocks that from happening. How many know this, all right? Your sin will find you out. How many have experienced that before, right? Because we all have a mom. And how many of us have experienced times in our life where mom said, "Hey, Steve, come in here. I need to talk to you." And it's like, how in the world did you know? Oh, I know our neighbor Phyllis told on me, because every neighborhood has a Phyllis that is the neighborhood guard dog, right? Maybe it was Phyllis. I don't know. But who has ever done, we've all done something. You didn't know how your mom found out, but she found out, or someone found out, and what you did was exposed, and you're just like, "Oh, stink." It reminds me of, I think I mentioned this commercial several weeks ago, but my mind went back to it in preparation for it this week. And so go ahead, because this is how it is sometimes, if you can run that video. Don't you love that? Don't you love that? The Coke guy's busted for taking Pepsi drink, right? That's how sin is. I mean, sin will tell on you, and that really, I've entitled this message, "Your Aching Heart." And I want us to talk about Joshua chapter 7, and the first thought for the morning is this: the impact of one person's sin. We think it's my own life, I can do what I want. We have this hyper-individualistic society that we're a part of this ideology that says, man, it's just about me. And what I do really doesn't affect, in the long run, doesn't affect people around me. We buy that lie, and what I do on my time is between me and God. We think in a church that even our size, that it really doesn't matter what I do. But no one sins unto themselves. When we choose to sin, it affects those around us. When a dad chooses to sin, it affects the whole family. When a kid makes a decision to willfully sin, it affects, and the effects of that sin has an effect not just on that child of ours, but on the rest of the family, because now all of a sudden mom and dad and the siblings are having to make decisions and having to make plans that they weren't planning to make because the decision of that kid. We see it happen in a church. I mean, the leadership falls into sin and the fallout of that upon the congregation. We've seen that. A church has a sinful attitude and we see the result that that can bring on a church. In the business world, there's dishonest owners or there's backbiting coworkers or there's the water cooler politics that happen that just seep into the environment and the culture of that workplace. How does that all affect things? Because the reality is it affects everyone. Achan's sin in Joshua 7 affected everyone. We see the impact of that one person's sin being brought upon the nation. And for Israel, I mean, I'm thinking in their mind, they just conquered Jericho. We are the champions, is playing in the background. And the Jordan River parted, Jericho's crumbled. They have the plunder that they've been instructed how to handle that plunder. And then chapter 7 hits like a bad dream. And it hits with these words, but. Things were going great, but. The wall came down with a shout, but. God showed up and showed off, but. Look at it, verse 1. But the Israelites, but it was just one person. God says, but the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, the tribe from the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. We already read back in Joshua 6, chapter 6, verse 17, what the parameters were for the blessing and for the blessings that they were to that they encountered there at Jericho. And Jericho, everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. It says it's really what we have here is this law of first things or first fruits, if you will. God says, "Give me the first, and that will determine what will happen to the rest." Right? When God says, listen, I want you to trust me with your resources, with your finances, and I want you to tithe and trust me in that because it's a law of first fruits. And what you do with your first will determine the blessings that you receive on the rest. And so God says, give me the first victory belongs to me. Jericho is mine. Joshua even cursed the city. We read about that in verse 26 of chapter 6. But Achan decided to keep a little bit of the spoils. He knew the ground rules and the why behind it, but greed is working in his heart. And how much did he take? He really didn't take a whole lot. I mean, you read what he took in verse 20. Achan replied of chapter 7, it is true, I've sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I've done. When I saw the plunder, a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and I took them, and they are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. In comparison to everything that was in that city, really, I mean, it wasn't much, was it? It wasn't like he brought in a U-Haul and loaded it up. One guy that I was studying and as I was studying and reading said this, you know, market value in today's economy would probably have been about $10,000. It would have been an Armani suit. It would have been, you know, a couple of nice other items, but really not much when you think the city was conquered. But it was something God told them not to do. In verse 2, we read, now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua. They said, not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary all the people, but for only a few men are there. I mean, these guys are confident, right? That they're confident that they can take this next city because of what just happened at Jericho. And they're moving in that direction. Achan has sinned against the Lord. He's taken these devoted things. And the result is that something that appeared to be very, very simple, something they should have been able to do, they're not going to be able to do. The Israelites are thinking, we don't even need all the soldiers, man. We don't need special ops for this one. We can just send out, you know, just 2,000 or 3,000 of our soldiers, and they'll take the city, give the other guys the weekend off. Do you know what sin does? Sin weakens the body. The things the body should be able to do, it can't do. Collectively, when I'm speaking of body, just with think within the body of Christ, when sin is allowed to have access and to influence, it weakens the body. It weakens the church. It weakens us as individuals. Joshua 7, verse 4, so about 3,000 men went up to Ai, but they were routed by the men of Ai. Think about that. In verse 5, we read that 36 soldiers died because of one man's sin. Sin may be little to you, and because that's what we do. We try to minimize our sin. We try to, it's not that bad, and there's worse things that I could do, but you may have to bury it. Culture may say, hey, just relax, just chill out about it. It's not that big of a deal, but it has an effect on you for sure. And when we allow sin into our life, the reality is it just doesn't damage us. It damages other people. It damages attitudes by words, by attitudes, by actions. And one person's sin caused 36 people to die there in Joshua 7. I mean, really, you read chapter 7 and it's really a time of introspection. It's not a time of self-satisfaction. Here's another effect of his decision. Look at it, verse 5. They chase the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the heart of the people melted. It became like water. You know what sin does? Sin has a demoralizing effect, doesn't it? I mean, we could pick up several different examples of the demoralizing effect of sin. And that it has in life. And we could pick and choose of several different illustrations, and we see it played out, the demoralizing effect that it has on a family or on a community or whatever the nation or on a nation, whatever the situation may be. We can apply it to any sin because there's this ripple effect to it. And I want to submit to you that when we're walking righteously before the Lord, there is a confidence in your step, and there's a confidence, and that confidence breeds confidence in others because faith breeds faith. Look at it, verse 6. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same. They sprinkled dust on their heads, and so they're mourning this situation, and Achan probably never pictured the grief he would cause Joshua, that he would cause the other leaders, but that's what sin does. It causes us to focus on ourselves. It doesn't, and it causes us not to think down the line and how it's going to affect other people. And in verse 7, it says, Joshua said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across to the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan." This demoralizing thing is happening. I mean, everything we've seen them, God do on their behalf, and now Joshua is going, "Oh, man, why did we even come over here? What happened?" They went from this unbeatable feeling to feeling very vulnerable. "Oh Lord," verse 8, "what can I say? Now that Israel has been routed by its enemies, the Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this and they will surround us and wipe us out, wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?" Have you ever seen... This weekend, we were privileged. We ran up to, went down to Branson and spent time with our oldest son and his fiance and her family in Branson and just hung out for a few days. It was a great time. And so on our way home, we took some time and we lived outside of Springfield in a small town for 4 years, did youth ministry there and just, man, loved it, had a blast. And so we thought, you know, let's reminisce. Caleb was born when we lived in that town and let's just reminisce and drive through that town, you know, and just, oh, look, there's that and remember when and did that. And the effects of sin and people's decisions spoke so clearly to us because we drove, as we were there visiting, just driving through the town, we drove through the church that we served at. And this church was a great church. Man, when we went there, they were just running right around 500 people, maybe a little north of that. And God was doing great things. And then some things transpired. It wasn't major sin issues on leadership or even people in the congregation, but this biting started to happen. And so yesterday we drove through that parking lot of the church that we served at. there in that small community outside of Mount Vernon and or outside of Springfield. And guess what? Incredible facility. A facility that a church of 800 people would desire to have. That church isn't there anymore. Because why? You want to know why? Because of sin. Because of people allowing sin to get a grip in their heart. And this fighting started and it just tore that thing apart. And now they're in a little, they sold that piece of property and they built another church on the other side of town and are kind of rebirthing, and God's doing great things. They've navigated through that season, but that's the ripple effect of sin. The church was on a roll, sinful attitudes came in, action started up, and the fallout happened. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have to take from this account that you and I have a responsibility, obviously to the Lord, but also to the body, and that our sin can affect our body. Can't it? I mean, let's just be real. A few months ago, I had the privilege of speaking to the football team or a group of the football players from the high school here at a retreat, and my topic was sexual purity. And I just said to the guys there, I said, listen, you may think that this topic doesn't affect you. You're high school, you're a teenager, that's, you know, yada, yada, yada. But it affects you. Because do you think it would affect me? If I became sexually impure, do you think it would affect me? Yeah, how would it affect me? Well, you're a pastor. Yeah? And? Well, you probably lose your job. You think? Yeah, and your family would be real upset. Really? They'd be upset. My wife would probably shoot me, you know? But that's the ripple effect. That leads us to the second thought, is the impossibility of victory without confession. Verse 10, the Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. I mean, confession, it's been said, right? Confession is good for the soul. If you mess up, fess up. Why is God saying that? Verse 18, Joshua chapter 6, verse 18. We looked at it already about the requirements of the devoted things, but God is saying, listen, wake up. I told you you would have trouble if someone took the devoted things. Joshua, it happened. Someone took the devoted things. Joshua chapter 7, verse 11, Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. What we need to notice here, we need to notice this, that this, and this is huge. This is so important. They weren't aware that it had happened, that Achan did this, right? But it happened nonetheless. And the condition of each of our heart is a serious matter. Not just for us personally. The condition of my heart is not just a serious matter for me personally, but for those that are around me. For those that are around you, if you're married, your spouse, for your family members, for your church family, for your friends, for your colleagues, for the body of Christ, don't ignore any prompting from the Lord to repent. Look at it, verse 12. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. In other words, unless there is repentance, we can't go forward, Joshua. Verse 13, go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourself in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. That which is devoted is among you, O Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it. Here's the deal. I mean, this is like, wow, this is intense, right? Aren't you glad for Thanksgiving? Right? I mean, here's the deal. When you allow sin in our life, it's impossible to have victory. God may move through you in your life. That's his grace, while not moving in you during your life. if you choose to live and continue to. You can't stand against the problems. You can't stand against the enemies. Little problems become big when we allow sin into our life. God tells Joshua, consecrate the people. And there's one other thing that I want us to see is the impracticality of hiding your sin from God. Because the reality is you and I can't hide our sin from God, can we? Can't go, God can't see, God can't hear. No, we can't do that. Achan probably for a day or two thought that he was going to be okay. But Numbers 32:23 tells us this, that your sins will find you out. He's thinking maybe for, oh man, I made it through a day, no one knew. Yes. Next day came, no one came. Yes. I'm going to be okay. No one's going to find out. No matter who you are or what you do, your sins will find you out. Why? Because God loves you too much to allow them to stay in the closet. He wants you to live a life of joy and peace, and that is impossible when we're living a lie. If you're hiding sin in your heart, you know what? God wants us to be caught. And it's not because he's mean, and it's not because he's angry at you or me. It's because he wants us to be free from that. And he wants us to experience the grace and the mercy that he has for us. Because he, as long as we live with a hidden area of our life, we'll hurt others, we'll hurt ourselves, we'll hurt our God. And God says, I have something way better for you than that. And the truth is this, you and I are growing in one of two ways, right? We're either growing in this way, that sin is becoming more and more easier because we become more and more comfortable with it, or we're growing in our holiness and our likeness and our devotion to the Lord. Because you can't hide your sin. Sin is like rust, right? It's eventually going to show through. And better for you to do it than to have God do it for you. Imagine what Achan is thinking when he hears verse 13. Look at it. Go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. That which is devoted is among you, O Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it. God was given, you know what? I look at this and I think, man, God is giving Achan a chance. What would have happened if Achan would have come clean? What would have happened if Achan would have went to Joshua and said, listen, Joshua, I blew it, I messed up, I saw some plunder and I got tempted and I thought, man, it would look really good on my fireplace mantle. Man, I thought I would look really good in that Babylonian suit, and so I took it, I took the plunder. Man, I blew it, forgive me. Call out to the Lord, please forgive me. What would have happened? We don't know. But instead, verse 16, early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes, and Judah was taken. The clans of Judah came forward, and he took the Zerahites. He had the clan of the Zerahites come forward by families, and Zimri was taken. Joshua had his family come forward man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, was taken. So you understand what's going on? All right, for example, let's pretend that there's sin in this camp this morning, right? This section right here, someone messed up. And because you can smell sin, right? Someone here has sinned in this section. And it's just like God just starts cutting it away, right? You know, it's not anyone on this side right down the middle. You guys are all good. It's someone over here. It's not my wife because she doesn't sin. So everyone knows, right? And so, man, they're just weeding this thing down. Can you imagine what Achan is feeling? Do you think his hands are getting a little bit sweaty and his heart's starting to beat a little bit? Like, I'm getting called on the carpet on this one. I'm in trouble. God knew what he had done. Then in verse 19, we read, then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord. the God of Israel, and give him the praise. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Achan replied, it is true. I've sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I've done. When I saw the plunder, a beautiful robe from Babylon, from the Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them. I took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with all the Israelites, took Achan, son of Zerai, the silver, the robe, the gold wedge, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkey, and sheep, and his tent, and all that he had to the Valley of Achor. Notice they took his, what they took. It says they took his sons and daughters. I mean, that's his family. And his family is affected by his sin. It says that they took his cattle, his donkey, his sheep. You know what that is? That's his earning power, isn't it? His livelihood is now affected by his sin. Says that they took his tent, all that he had. It affected all of his possessions. Their decisions, the decisions we make affect every area of our life if we choose to sin. Listen, I have a friend that he was in the ministry. He was at the time when we haven't been around him for a long time, but when we were involved in the same church that he was at, he came and visited us when he was one of the first pastors that prayed for our boy after Austin was born, and had planted a church, and the church was thriving and doing good, and he made some bad decisions that costed him his position. And thank the Lord, the family is working through that. But now, last I knew, man, he's like, he was doing an incredible job for the kingdom of God. And now, last I heard, he was selling stuff on the phone. That is the destructive damage of sin. And we can minimize stuff if we want to, but the ripple effect is reality, isn't it? I mean, I'm not trying to be heavy and like, you know, that was fun going to church today, you know? But the reality is that when we sin, we risk everything. Immorality can destroy you no matter who you are. Sin choices can destroy you no matter who you are. You don't just have to be a pastor to experience the destructive nature of sin in your life. We all know that. The Bible tells us that it affects every part of the body. In verse 25, Joshua said, why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble upon you today. Then all of Israel stoned him. After they had stoned the rest, they burned them. Over Achan, they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore, that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. Man, I know. As we close this down this morning, I know it seems like a heavy message, but I truly believe it's a timely message. Not because I think there's like, you know, some hidden sins in the house, though there may be. But it's a timely message because I truly believe for us to be truly grateful and experience the gratitude that we all desire to experience and to live by, to be able to do that, we have to make sure our heart is clean from the ugliness and the distractions of sin. Because sin destroys and sin distracts, doesn't it? If I could get the worship team to come this time. I said this a couple weeks ago with a message that felt it was very timely. I didn't line up my preaching calendar to preach Joshua chapter 7 on the Sunday following Thanksgiving this morning. As I looked at, you know, heading into Joshua, I'm not smart enough to do that stuff. Why do you laugh? Right? I'm not. nor would I attempt to do that, because I'm not going to try to manipulate anybody. But it would appear, coming off of Thursday, where it's about to be it's about gratitude, and heading into the holiday season, and to pull away from and resist and to fight against our culture that it promotes this greed among us, that God would say, listen, I am so concerned about your heart. I am so concerned about your heart that I'm sending my son to give you a new heart. I am so concerned about your heart that I would ask you to examine your heart. That if there is, as the psalmist said, Lord, examine my heart. If there's anything within me, renew a right heart within me. Because sin, there's a lot of adjectives that we could throw at sin to describe it. But sin stinks, man. And sin has an effect. And you know it, and I know it. We've experienced it when we've made decisions to sin, and we've experienced the effect of it. And unfortunately, we've all experienced the ripple of other people's decision to sin, right? And it's easy to look at that person and say, man, I'm still upset because you did that. And maybe rightly so. But more important is what's going on in my heart and what I'm allowing to camp in my heart. And if there's anything, God, that is unpleasing to you, may I call it what it is, may I confess it, and may I flee from it and run into your arms. See, in a message like this, it's easy to compare ourselves. Can we do this? Can we promise? Can we commit to do this with one another and just with ourselves? Let's not compare sin. Because that doesn't get you anywhere. Let's call it what it is, and let's deal with it if it's in here. Seen the impact of sin, the impossibility of victory without the confession of sin, and then the impracticality of hiding our sin. Man, it just doesn't work.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines. He is our God.